Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Liz Loza. I'm here with Matt Harmon and producer Brett. And we are heading into week three of the NFL season. Matt, you know, people say this every year and every year I kind of roll my eyes. But does this seem like the year that has more injuries than any other year?
I think this year has, it's kind of similar to, I think it was 2017 when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I think J.J. Watt got hurt that year.
Early in the year.
And it's kind of feels like that where there's a lot of big name injuries, you know, like to, especially to quarterbacks. I mean, if you think about it, going into like at the beginning of August, we've essentially lost seven starters to the our guys that we there are question marks around like seven starters that we would assume, you know, Luck, Foles, Ben, Breeze, Cam Newton. Eli Manning got benched. And then there's one more that I feel like I'm forgetting. But, you know, there's like six or seven starters.
Are you talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I wasn't talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, yeah, he's also out of a job. But does anybody
Sam Darnold
really...
you're missing.
Oh, Sam Darnold's
that's
the one.
Nine.
Yeah, that's the one I'm missing. But I guess I wasn't really counting Fitzpatrick.
Well, ring the bell because it is the Chosen Rosen's time in South Florida. I don't think anyone's ever been happier except for probably Josh Rosen and his whole family.
I mean, are they really? Are they really?
I've been being facetious.
Yeah.
Thanks for proving the age of irony is D-O-A. I almost spelled dead, but I decided dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival is better.
So, yeah, let's do the quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger, everybody believes that Mason Rudolph is going to be the second coming, and assumedly so do the Steelers. Otherwise, they wouldn't have traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, or at least that's the narrative and the line of thought.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the Steelers? They're heading to San Francisco. They've got Nick Bosa and Dee Ford on that line causing a little bit of havoc. So he's going to have to make some decisions. And, oh, hey, I don't know if you know this. In addition to Ryan Fitzpatrick having gone to Harvard, James Washington and Mason Rudolph played together in college at Oklahoma State.
Best friend narrative. Preseason narrative.
It's almost like Witten and Tony, only not at all like that.
they
didn't go to college together.
Yeah, right. I think that number one, you bring up the 49ers defense. This is, I think, actually a really good test for Mason Rudolph because I think them and the Bucks, which is ironic because they played each other in week one, those are the two most like surprising defenses to me through 2 weeks. The Bucks, I'm a little less hesitant to, I mean, they look good.
Tad Bowles redemption tour?
I'm a little, the only reason I get it. Like in week one, especially against the 49ers, I thought, I think I even said this out loud as we were watching the game, I was like, this 49ers defense actually, or Bucks defense, looks pretty good. Like they're flying around to the ball. They're especially, you know, that offense in San Francisco really gets guys in space. I thought the Bucs did a good job closing and getting guys on the ground there. Week two against Carolina, it's hard to say because like they've got Darrell Williams out there playing left tackle. Darrell Williams made Shaquille Barrett AFC defense or NFC defensive player of the week. Give me a damn break. Like that was embarrassing. Cam Newton injures his foot and can't complete a pass. So like,
but do you remember last week, though, when I was like, he's definitely hurt. And we know he's hurt because they're being so adamant about the fact that he's not hurt.
Yeah.
That's a tell.
Yeah, that is a total tell.
So, but back to the Steelers.
What the hell was I talking about? Right. The 49ers defense, good test for Mason Rudolph. The hard thing is here is like,
who's it going to be?
Where are our expectations anyways? Because this offense has been bad through 2 weeks. They were actually better.
I don't think they were bad. They were, we agreed upon, pedestrian.
Well, they were bad in week one, for sure. They were,
yes.
In week one, they were really bad. In week two, they actually didn't even really come alive until Mason Rudolph came in the fold. So you can kind of talk yourself a couple ways here because number one, I think our expectations for this offense in general needed to come down regardless of whether Roethlisberger was going to be there or not. But you also have to ask the question, where is Roethlisberger right now in terms of, I mean, I think he
on
was coming.
Couch.
Well, yeah, eating somewhere. But I think in terms of like where he is at this point in his career, is he even that sort of elevating quarterback?
Well, do you remember what 2 years ago when there was speculation about his retirement?
I mean, speculation from him.
Right.
He from
opened,
the source.
Like, the imretiring.com URL or something.
Yeah,
he, like,
yeah.
Bought the domain
name.
So I did see the report that said, like, oh, I'm so bummed that I can't be there this year.
Yeah, God's
plan. I think he basically saw Antonio Brown score a touchdown. And he was like, nah, fam, I'm out
of here.
No, I don't want to live through this.
I think he came into that game, too, with this elbow injury.
We talked about that on Sunday night's
episode.
Like,
that would have been nice to know. I think it's interesting, too, that you can also say that Roethlisberger has really, a lot of quarterbacks get to do this, but I think Roethlisberger, perhaps more than any other quarterback, really gets to call the shots in the Steelers offense. You know, like Todd Haley gave him a lot of freedom. Then when he and Todd Haley didn't get along,
not enough,
Todd Haley got booted. Randy Fickner comes in. They become this very pass heavy team. Is that going to change now that, like, is Randy Fickner going to be
Antonio,
the
part of the reason Antonio got booted? Because he started improing routes so that he could have those high value red zone looks. And Ben was like, you can't just do something different.
Yeah.
And there's an argument to be had on both sides of the ball. But I think that now this, you're right, you make an excellent point that this is no longer Ben Roethlisberger's offense. It is Fickner's offense. And he's an internal promotion.
Like, Roethlisberger wants you to go out there and win, you know, ISO routes, win one-on-one and get open. The Steelers don't have very many players that can do that right now.
Dante Moncrief sure as can't.
I mean, even if he does get open, he's not catching the ball, which the offensive coordinator Randy Fickner even said today. He's like, I had a coach tell me a long time ago, you need to put the receive in the word receiver.
Hands
or whatever.
Can't be taught.
Yeah, right. Whatever. So Moncrief's bench, James Washington comes in. Washington can't really beat press coverage or get open against tight man coverage on his own. We know Juju Smith-Schuster can't do that either. Mm-hmm. So maybe if they start to scheme more players open, that could actually end up being good for all of these receivers. And also, it might help if they transition into more of like a 55-45 run to pass ratio, or, you know, pass to run ratio, as opposed to like being almost 70-30, which they were last year when they led the NFL in
and
the
I
pass
think
ratio.
They're going to have to be more creative, which is the point I think you're trying to make. And they're also going to have to therefore use Jalen Samuels more, especially if James Conner is banged
he's
up.
Hurt. Yeah, right. So this whole offense to me, I just think like, I'm definitely interested in James Washington this week. I'm definitely interested. I don't know that I'm playing Mason Rudolph like in DFS or anything like that. But
for what it's worth, he's like a top 25 ranked. He's like the QB 24-ish in terms of the Yahoo consensus heading into the week. So just for reference.
Yeah. Overall, I think this game is really interesting. And I'm not totally sold that Mason Rudolph is going to be terrible. But I don't have like a strong conviction, only because he's getting dropped into what I think is actually a pretty non-ideal scenario in terms of the weapons around him.
Let's talk about Drew Brees.
All right.
All right. So Captain Drew Brees out. He gives everyone a big thumbs up post-surgery.
Cool.
They love it. Teddy Bridgewater. I just want to talk about this really quickly because there's all of this talk about, well, this was supposed to be Teddy Bridgewater's offense, right? Yep. He was the heir apparent.
It's the highest paid backup in the NFL.
And I know from a source that he was offered the job in Miami. This was pre-tanking official, where he could have been the starting quarterback. They showed interest and he wanted to learn behind Brees and take less money and be a backup. So there's been promises made. But Taysom Hill comes in and people are making these wild Steve Young comps.
Yeah, that which is crazy.
Sure. But this is what's happening.
It's what's happening.
And so there's, I mean, I think we may be heading into a full-blown QBBC.
Yep.
But also, part of me thinks, well, Sean Payton, like, you have an ego. Mm-hmm. This isn't news. People believe you to be one of the most creative offensive minds of our generation, right?
He was Sean McVay before there was
sure.
Sean McVay.
Sure. Right?
Circle like, of Sean.
You can't have, you don't get Justin without Jordan. Take that for a boy band ref. So absolutely right. So don't you think Sean McVay is also going to be like, I have chosen Teddy. I'm going to scheme for him. I am going to make this happen. That is an, if I can do this, holy cow. On the other hand, we also know that he likes shiny toys. Shiny
we
new
know
toys.
He likes Taysom Hill and all that,
but
too.
But you can't, you like using him as a gadget. And if he becomes your quarterback, then you're not going to risk an injury to him when he's being used as a gadget.
I think one thing that's interesting about Taysom Hill, too, is that like if they want to like have him be the guy, he's like sneaky old for a back. He's like 29 years old.
Yeah. It's got to happen.
It's got to happen at some point, right? So I like Teddy Bridgewater. I appreciated him when he came into the league, but he hasn't been good since the injury.
He hasn't had.
And even before that, he was average. Like Bridgewater.
He's a former All-Pro.
Teddy Bridgewater? No, All-Pro. I mean, he was a fine starter that was never in like a great, great situation. So. I would say he's an above average quarterback.
A former Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
He was a former Pro Bowler.
I mean, when did he get into the Pro Bowl after like five guys dipped out? Probably
2015.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and say he was.
But I also think that nobody has given him. He's in New Orleans, but he did look cold when he entered for Breeze.
And looked bad in week 17 last year, admittedly, with backups on the roster.
If it is an excuse to say when someone looks good because starters are on the roster, then it is opposing defenses. Yes,
roster.
Then we have to qualify it for the offensive players as well. Fine. But Bridgewater came in cold. He hasn't been getting reps with the first team. Like,
I get it.
I almost said McVay. Peyton is going to scheme for him. Anyway, I found an interesting stat, and that was that Alvin Kamara, even when facing stacked boxes, averaged 4.5 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. So the thought, and I agree that maybe the ceiling is, quote, shaved off a little bit, the thought that Alvin Kamara is going to, like, throw up on himself is ridiculous here.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this is what's good news for Teddy is that, like, or the point I want to make here is that, like, I kind of want to see Taysom Hill start at quarterback for this team. Ugh. I know that's gross. I feel
some people like to see
it.
The world burn.
I just think, you know, for these teams, all I ask is be interesting for all of these beautiful.
Oh, and but
weirdos.
You don't want to watch TNF tonight.
Oh, I'm watching TNF tonight. I mean, okay. I'll be right.
Brett doesn't like when we reference the games that are going to happen. So,
but
sorry,
I'll be watching.
I just got a big
it's
sigh
fine.
From him.
Whatever.
I'll be.
I just got a big sigh.
I'll be watching TNF. I watch every stupid primetime game.
But
they're like
shade thrown on the Titans Jags tilt every year is so obnoxious because people want something interesting. Finally, these two teams are going to do something interesting. People are like, oh, yawn. It's such a tired take.
It's a beautiful disaster of a game. I don't know what you like. Just because they're not as aesthetically pleasing as all the other ones.
I'm not the one tilting on it.
Oh no, we're in lockstep here. We're on the same side. Yeah, I mean, this is not like, hey, at least Blake Bortles isn't a prime player in this game. Give me a break. Derrick Henry is one of the most exciting running backs in the NFL. Anyways, this game probably
we can talk about Jalen too, but I don't know if Brett's going to allow us.
It's going to be so great for the listeners when they're listening to this on Friday.
That's a great point. Okay, right. But point being, I do kind of want to see Taysom Hill start for this team only because I think it will be more interesting than Teddy Bridgewater plays.
That's fine. I think we are. I think we're both also in agreement that this is going to turn into a quarterback by committee situation.
I also maybe from like a selfish perspective would like to see Taysom Hill start a quarterback for this team so we can stop getting like multi-positional eligibility questions with Taysom Hill.
Oh, well, it's not my problem.
I spend more time camped out in the Yahoo Fantasy mentions than you do. Yeah.
Save yourself. So, and I think we are going to both be excited for this. How y'all not talking about Kyle Allen?
Yeah, I noticed that you're like in on Kyle Allen.
Heck yeah. He fits every a big arm, sneaky mobility. This is the type of quarterback I always end up falling for.
Yeah.
Also, love the narrative, heading back to his home state of Arizona, played with Kyler Murray, back at Texas A&M before they both left for different teams. If anything has gotten Kyle Allen in trouble, it's the fact that he throws a bunch of interceptions. But Jordan Palmer, his coach, his QB coach, Carson's little brother, has said that, in fact, Kyle has worked on that. And he's actually quite calm in the face of pressure. And the Arizona Cardinals aren't going to bring any of that. So no worries.
Yeah, they're secondary.
Also, I mean, people, he throws a ton of interceptions. Cool, because Cam's like the most accurate quarterback in the damn league.
Also, we talk about Teddy Bridgewater not playing well in that Week 17 game. You know who did play well?
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen played. Liz, remember we watched that game together at
I don't
brunch.
Remember much of that.
Yeah,
day.
I don't remember the game that happened that night. When I said I watch every primetime NFL game, I meant everyone except the Colts
seven.
And Titans in Week 17 last year because passed out on my couch before that one. But Kyle Allen wins the backup quarterback job over Will Greer, who is a stone disaster in the preseason.
Cut. And then added back to the practice squad.
No, Will Greer.
Kyle Allen.
Yeah. But I mean, like this year, he's a clear-cut backup,
yeah.
Which is good.
Greer looked like hot garbage in preseason. Oh,
terrible.
Your favorite. Another one of your favorites.
Very cool that they spent a top 100 pick on a guy that's not going to contribute at all in a year that they wanted a good 10. But not my problem because I'm a lifelong 49ers fan.
Kyle Allen also, the sneaky mobility, I think, is the thing that nobody is talking about. He did rush for a touchdown in Week 17. So again, we got to throw those stats out because New Orleans was resting all of their starters. But he can do that. That is something that Cam used to be able to do and hasn't been able to do because of the sore foot. Arizona allowing an average of 309 passing yards per game over the past 2 weeks. They made Matt Stafford the fourth most productive quarterback in fantasy in week one. They gave Lamar Jackson top two numbers last week. Why Kyle Allen is just automatically being disregarded is beyond the matchup. If we have to pretend to be matchup advocates all the time and do a little homework about the player's skill set, then there is no reason that Kyle Allen shouldn't be in the first 15 quarterbacks heading into the week.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Also, like all of the...
He's got the damn weapons!
All the honking that I did in the preseason and in the offseason for months and months leading into this year about this is the best offense that's ever surrounded Cam Newton... weapons wise, that's been 100% true. Like all the things
that
happened.
How many almost touchdowns did your boy Curtis? How many almost cigarettes did you smoke?
I mean, I had to smoke a few of them just to calm down. I mean, nice. On the 95 yards or 91 yards alone, like he should have had like 170 yards in that game. Like he's top 10 in the NFL in air yards. He's having the breakout year. DJ Moore is leading the team with 27% of the targets. He's catching 7 balls every game. Like Greg Olsen looked good last week. Yeah. And Christian McCaffrey obviously still doing his thing. So, like, the things have all happened. Again, unfortunately, their rookie left tackle, Greg Little, is still missing time with the concussion, which has put frickin' Daryl Williams out there. Talk about a fraudulent all-pro, Daryl Williams, in 2017. Give me a break. But, yeah, so Kyle Allen's really walking into a really good situation here. So it wouldn't be surprising if he ends up being a pretty solid quarterback play this week.
I've got a lot of questions about whether or not the change under center negatively affects the positional players, right? Like the receivers and the running back. My answer has been, it's not going to get worse.
No, that's the thing.
Like, it may not lift it, but it ain't going to get worse.
Right. I totally agree. And I mean, I think you play Curtis Samuel this week. I think you play DJ Moore this week against that secondary. Why not?
And they're cheap in DFS because they've underwhelmed this far.
Yeah. Curtis Samuel is $17 in Yahoo DFS, and I will be playing him this week.
I don't know if Kyle Allen likes breadsticks, but I do know that Daniel Jones does enjoy walking around with a garlic parm breadstick between his fingers.
Yeah. That's new. The face of New York, Daniel Jones.
I mean, it's the same face. I would argue that it's like a slightly less good looking face.
Right. Well, we know you have like a weird thing with Eli Manning.
It's a thing now. Don't let the press know.
Daniel Jones, though. I mean, it's so hard to say because obviously everybody comes in thinking he's like a complete dumpster of a quarterback prospect, right? But like,
then Gettleman does a couple victory laps.
and like he legitimately, Daniel Jones looked great in the preseason. I mean, you can't, but again, it's preseason. I think the thing that's interesting about Daniel Jones in this offense now is, look, Eli Manning's been like a corpse for 3 years. He hasn't been good in a long time. I don't know if Daniel Jones is good, but again, to the vein of like, I think he makes the Giants more interesting because he can run. He can, you know, get outside the pocket a little bit.
There's the upside of the unknown here.
Yes.
And it's not like, I mean, they have the same damn coach.
Yeah.
Right. Like he has been groomed as if he were a Manning.
But he isn't, you know, he doesn't play like Eli Manning does. Like there's definitely a lot of differences in terms of style here. And Pat Shurmur, to the coach.
I would say that just to your point, yes, but that matches the evolution of the position.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And I think his current coach, Pat Shurmur, has been much, much more interested in working with Daniel Jones than he is whatever's left of Eli Manning. Like, I think when you look at the Giants, there's a contingent, you know, the like Eli contingent, you know, John Mara, the owner, Dave Gettleman, the GM. Gettleman's kind of like in between both camps because like he sure wants to like swing it around for Daniel Jones and like show everybody how much smarter he is than everyone else. But he's also like an Eli loyalist. And like he made the Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith comparison. Give me a break. and I think where Shurmur falls down is that he's clearly a Daniel Jones guy. Like he likes Daniel Jones. He was ready to, he's like a fantasy analyst. He took the preseason victory lap when Daniel Jones is out there balling. And now if Sterling Shepard comes back, you know,
having trouble clearing the concussion protocol.
If Evan Ingram is out there and he's been incredible. If Golden Tate is back in a couple of weeks, this offense isn't that bad. And like the interesting thing about Saquon Barkley too, is he's the running back 5 right now in fantasy, but he's not doing it on tremendous volume. He's actually 11th in the NFL in touches. He's just been crazy efficient, over 7 yards per carry.
He's also seeing a stacked front 41.4% of the time.
Right.
That's crazy. That's a lot.
Yeah, and I think Jones is going to at least open this offense up and give defensive coordinators
in some room,
something else some to breath. Think about, you know?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, again, I think this is not the same, but the same answer that I would give. Does this hurt the Giants? No. Does it help them? It doesn't make them worse.
It doesn't make them worse. Yeah. I don't think it can.
I don't think it's a giant lift. We'll
no.
see. Unless, you know, Breadstick lights it on fire.
Breadstick. I mean, Manning's just been, he's just like, he's just been a net negative for this team. Like for, like I said, 3 years now.
Yeah.
And which is unfortunate that it would have been great to see like Odell Beckham with Daniel Jones. And like,
I mean, would it have? Wouldn't we rather see OBJ with Baker? Come on.
I'm not saying that it would be more interesting, but it
would be. This is the perfect offense for Daniel Jones. Like, I want a tight end who's going to get fed the ball, and I want one of these dynamic running backs with a do-it-all skill set and like, no real field stretchers. Like, this is the prime Eli Manning version of a team that's built in New York.
And, like, to bring back to Daniel Jones's college playing style, we had his college roommate and best friend Ben Humphreys, Duke linebacker on rookie orientation, and he made the, you know, a lot of the same points of what everybody else had made about Daniel Jones, but I think it's even more interesting coming from a guy who actually played on the team too, that, you know, the number one thing that everyone talks about is how tough this guy is and like that, like, he will definitely, you know, kind of stand in the eye of the storm, all that sort of stuff. But the other thing, and I thought this was interesting that another Duke player would do this, through like all the teammates, you know, all he's like, we didn't have great receivers, you know, didn't got
everybody,
guys
anyone who
ball.
Watched a Duke game could see that he was being let down by his receivers.
Right. But it's just interesting that like, a, you know, the one of the other teammates would say that, but
the other side of the ball.
Yeah. I think it, again, in the Taysom Hill vein, I think this makes the Giants more interesting. And at the end of the day, that's all I can ask for from these teams.
Yeah, well, things should get interesting, too, because we're going to have Andy Behrens join us to discuss the rest of these injuries and their potential fantasy fallout. As promised, Andy Behrens is here with Matt and I to work through all of the injuries heading into week three. But Andy, before we continue, tell us how's that Mitch Trubisky season going for you?
I mean, we're 1-1, right? I prefer to think of it as the Eddie Pinheiro season. He's like the only ray of hope that we have so far. No, Mitch has been terrible. Mitch has been like the worst version of last year's Mitch. Maybe Green Bay is going to be kind of a frisky defense this year, and eventually Denver, which looks terrible defensively on paper right now, they're probably going to be a thing. But it's hard to write all this off just to the quality of the opponents. I mean, he's been bad. He's been like everything that you hated about him last year. You know, if his first read wasn't open, he's completely lost. That's back. That's back, and it's as bad as ever. So it's a little bit terrifying. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, Andy, but the Bears passing offense is averaging 4.8 yards per attempt. Their rushing offense is averaging 4.5 yards per carry. I think they're the only team in the NFL that's that close to each other.
They might be the only team in the NFL in like 30 years that's had a number like that, right? Like, there's a certain kind of Bears fan that's into it. I'll spare you the details of some of the sports radio conversations that go on around here, but you know, there's a weird amount of, and it maybe it speaks to what a nice and likable guy Mitch Trubisky is, but there's still a fair amount of hope that he's going to be a thing at some point. I don't know. I've kind of abandoned it.
I know I'm putting you on the spot here, and there really isn't much to suss out, but the Bears have Washington on Monday night. The projected point total per Vegas is 41 for that game. Any bold predictions or fantasy nugs you feel like throwing out?
Like, is there anybody I would actually, you know, I'd start David Montgomery in that game. There's nobody else I like in that game. I don't like anybody on the Washington side of that thing. You're not going to, you know, even with the current quarterback landscape, you're not going to touch Mitch. Allen Robinson is the only moderately trustworthy thing. So, no, it's Montgomery or bust, basically, in that one.
Right.
I think Robinson has a good game because Washington secondary can't cover anybody. I mean, I was getting excited about Devin Smith this week on Instagram, and one of my buddies I went to high school with is a Washington fan. He said, I don't think you need to be getting excited about Devin Smith. David Quessenberry, that Titans offensive lineman that scored a touchdown, could score a touchdown against Josh Norman right now. So, like, I think he's appealing.
Devin Smith has a nice matchup this week, though. You're allowed to be excited in one more week. Especially
don't worry.
With Gallagher.
Yeah. That's on the lineup. I mean, the rundown, Liz.
All right, so let's jump in there. Matt, go ahead and intro it.
What the hell are we talking about?
Michael Gallup being injured.
Oh, yeah. So, like, Michael Gallup is hurt and stuff. Like, he's probably...
You're welcome. I serve something up to you. All you have to do is go. This is...
Yeah, like, Michael Gallup is hurt. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. He had a little cleanup surgery, which sucks, right? Because he's top five in the NFL in receiving yards right now. He's over, I think he's at 226. But the good news for Dallas is, Andy, that they have depth, right? Like, Devin Smith, I think, is legitimate. That Randall Cobb is, like, he looks like he's turned the clock back at least 2.5 years, along with everyone's favorite NFL analyst, Jason Witten. What do you think about this? Like, who's going to score all the damn fantasy points this week when they play the hand Dolphins?
Yeah, I was just noticing today that Jason Witten's Yahoo headshot, by the way, it's like a dead ringer for Adam Rank. That's pretty amazing. That's neither here nor there, but it shocked me. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's such a blowout of a game. It's going to be a miserable watch, really, probably by the second half. I think you're right to say that Randall Cobb has turned it back like 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that. It hasn't been special, but I think he could find. I mean, I think all Cowboys could find the end zone in this one, right? Obviously, Zeke is, if he's not your number one quarterback, he's your number two. Maybe CMC is your number one. It's a blow up week for Cooper. I mean, there should be another 4 touchdowns for Dak here. I don't see why there wouldn't be.
I think that my bold prediction, which is not that bold, is that Jason Witten finds the end zone for the third week in a row. I have him fearlessly forecasted for 4 grabs, 52 yards, which is quite high.
That's high for Jason Witten.
That is super. I was like, oh, God, it feels a little uncomfortable, but I just can't say 38.
I can't believe the questions that I'm getting about Jason Witten, by the way. Like, the questions that are coming in on Jason Witten are crazy. It's as if, I don't know, he's turned the clock back like 10 years. People are lumping him into questions with, like, tier one, like, second round of your draft tight ends.
Well, I just tweeted out, speaking of his Yahoo headshot, I just tweeted out a screenshot of me adding him in a league and said, this is a cry for help. But, like, when you're like me, when you're like me and you drafted O.J. Howard everywhere, you gotta have a contingency plan.
And somebody shows you who they are, Matt. Believe them the first time.
The worst part, yeah, I've never heard that one before, but like, the worst part about the OJ Howard thing, by the way, is that, like, all of the, like, the small amount of people who were like, yeah, but, you know, Bruce Arians doesn't use a tight end, it's like, that's actually going to be true now, even though I don't even know what Bruce Arians is even doing. Like, you get coaxed out of retirement to, like, establish the run with Peyton Barber. Give me a break. Why is this what we're doing
here?
He's
grooming, man.
I think it's
part of a larger conversation.
I don't think we like had a conversation enough about, like, you know, Byron Leftwich is calling the plays here, and, like, that didn't go very well in Arizona last year. So maybe that's the real problem, but that's not worse.
Well, okay, let's get back to tight ends, because another one is injured. David Njoku left Monday Night Football with a concussion. His wrist is all sort of messed up. He's going to be out for this game. So I think maybe this is good news for Jarvis Landry. And also, if you're going to pick up someone, maybe Jason Witten is available to replace him.
Cleveland's offense is starting to thin out a little bit. You know, like, Rashard Higgins missed last week's game.
Callaway's still suspended.
They've got guys like Damian Ratley and someone that's not Duke Johnson, but another Johnson back there. It's like De'Ernest Johnson or something like that. Taking snaps at running back.
I'm a little bit worried about the passing game in the Rams-Cleveland matchup.
Oh.
Because Goff on the road, isn't that great? Right? Aqib Talib, we've talked about a difference maker in the secondary. So, I think everyone looks at this 89-yard touchdown that OBJ scored and should have scored on Monday night last week. And they're expecting that to now become the normal. But I don't think that's going to be the normal in this one. And I don't think Goff is efficient enough while traveling to be relied upon. We're hearing Kitchens talk about wanting to get trying to get Chubb more looks.
I want to expand the Chubb role.
and so now I think we're going to have a bit of a letdown in terms of where the production is coming from.
I was just looking at Goff, by the way, and it's a brutal recent game log. He, I want to say, has one multi-touchdown game in his last 10, and that's getting reflected in my ranks, not only for him but for all of the wide receivers tied to that offense now. Like, it's been kind of quietly really sloppy.
Yep, Robert Woods has done nothing through two games. Cooper Kupp obviously had that long catch and run. Brandon Cooks had one big catch.
Nice bounce back last week.
But overall, yeah, this Rams passing game has been super disappointing.
I think the sneaky play, again at tight end, is Gerald Everett this week.
Higbee is hurt.
Yep, Higbee's out, so he's not going to have to share. And again, there's the assumption that we're trying to protect Todd Gurley from goal line exposure. And that is a tight end, a nice big body near the end zone, is something that I think Jared Goff can handle right now. So it
would be nice to see Gerald Everett actually do something at some point when everyone gets excited about him, because I've done I've done it about three or four times now through his 2-year career. Yeah.
So those are Witten, Everett might be options if you have lost Njoku. I actually am playing Everett ahead of Njoku in a big money league with my buddy James Rodé. So doing it, taking my own advice. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, because everybody got hurt on Sunday night. DeSean Jackson is out for 2 weeks with a hip strain. Alshon Jeffrey got banged up in that game too. Andy, according to your bold prediction, Nelson Agholor is a world beater now.
Yes, that's right. I think that was the exact wording that I'd intended for my bold prediction. I mean,
I think Mo Nelson might have Agholor tweaked the
Yeah, he's a guy who's like, he's $14 in our daily game, right? That's ridiculous. 11 targets last week. He only had one game-changing, soul-crushing drop, so that's good, right? Caught 8 balls, 100 yards. I mean, like, the volume just has to be there. There are so few other options. It's gonna be Sproles, it's gonna be Ertz, it's gonna be Agholor. It's not great, but I mean, we're not gonna see Jeffrey and D-Jax for maybe 2 weeks. So Agholor, like it or not, it's going to be one of those, like, Dwayne Bowe, I guess, is my comp, right? Mm. Where, like, you couldn't watch the games. You just couldn't watch the games. You just had to accept the stats that came in, because there were going to be, like, two or three moments where you're like, my God, man, you dropped my touchdown. Yeah. You got to let it go, because the volume is just going to be there. And he's, you know, yeah, it's going to be like 16 points that could have been 24, but, you know, whatever, let it go. Take the 16.
I think Nelson Agholor, like, just, it was that one, like, I'm kind of like a sneaky Agholor guy, but like, it was that one.
That's because you worked with Marcus for all those years. Incepted you.
No, I was an Agholor guy, like, coming out of school. I thought he was like, perfect comp for him was like Golden Tate, but he doesn't do anything that Golden Tate does. But anyways, like, point being, I thought he played really well outside of that one drop. And I think, honestly, that drop was actually just a little bit of payback for Carson Wentz, who, like, as soon as he came back on the field, tossed Agholor, like, the most hospital ball of all hospital balls in the end zone. But anyways, he wasn't even number one on the team in air yards. The take for me in this situation is that, like, everyone, and I think, like, the fantasy world was kind of in lockstep about this, but, you know, Zach Ertz is going to regress because of, like, the other weapons that were added. Like, that take's not a thing anymore.
And Dallas Goddard's banged up too.
He's hurt. Yeah. I mean, that take is, like, not a thing anymore. Ertz goes out there, leads the team in air yards, has, I think, 8 catches. So, yeah, I think that, like, that's the situation that we're going to see now. I think Ertz is, you know,
he's a top two spot.
A top two spot. He's a value in DFS, I think, too.
I think we have to throw out J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Mac Hollins as names, especially for deeper leagues. So, interesting stat via Ian Hartist, I believe.
Hartist,
who writes a fantastic wide receiver cornerback matchup article for RotoWorld, pointed out that Darius Slay had spent 23% of his snaps in the slot this season. So he could cover Nelson Agholor if he wanted to, though it would seem a little bit nutty that Nelson Agholor would command the coverage of a back like Slay. Otherwise, Arcega-Whiteside would probably see most of Slay. Mac Hollins would see Rashawn Melvin. Of the two, so I have a tendency to want to like Mac Hollins because I tend to like that profile of a receiver, like a size speed prospect, hashtag team tall receiver. But Arcega-Whiteside was so damn good in contested situations. And knowing that Carson Wentz isn't, I don't think he's fully healthy.
Is he ever fully healthy?
No, but, you know, I think I would lean towards efficiency over flash, which would mean Jaws ahead of Hollins in a pinch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if everybody kind of gets on Agholor and then, like, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has the big game because he's a lot like Alshon Jeffrey too, like very similar players in my opinion in terms of where they win.
Which one do you like, Andy?
That really feels right. Like in a week where I have Aguilar going everywhere, it feels right for like Mac Hollins to have an absolute blow up. That's probably going to happen. I think if I had to choose one here, it would actually probably be Hollins as more of a, you know, big play flyer.
So, right. That's it. Efficiency over flash, right? And you're going to choose the flash over the efficiency. But that's the call, dear fantasy football listeners and players, you have to make. And we've outlined it for you, whatever your personal preference is. If you have to make the choice, now you know the difference between them. Former Philadelphia Eagle, Shady McCoy, now a member of the Kansas City backfield. Some good news, his MRI results are negative, but he's still not 100% certain for Sunday. So we know Damian Williams is also...
He's banged up. He's seen limping around today,
was
the quote.
So that would mean you'd be like, oh, I know, I can elevate LeSean. Nah, not so fast. This is an older back who, you know, for a long time feasted because of his speed. He's not healthy. That's going to limit him. So...
It's awful last week, too, and hurt.
Darwin Thompson, the rookie, do you remember, dear friend Matthew, like 3 weeks ago when we all got tilted because everyone had drafted Darwin Thompson in the late rounds of their draft, and then Andy Reid was like, ha-ha, Shady's coming back, and then we're all like, oh, no, that was a horrible pick, what did I do? And now, three weeks later, life comes at you fast.
This is why you should have been kind of stashing him all along. You don't want to go out, and we said this about Tony Pollard, don't go out and hate drop Darwin Thompson because you're pissed because like you drafted a couple weeks too early and you spent the eighth or ninth round pick on him. He could easily be the Alvin Kamara of this backfield that like two elders, like one of the elder statesmen here, you know, LeSean McCoy gets hurt being the Adrian Peterson from Kamara's rookie year. And then he's not relevant anymore. And Thompson ends up being a guy that, you know, you really want. I do our pickups video every week. And I, you know, try to give like one player that's, you know, you don't just go down the scoring leaders page and be like, here are the players that scored the most points last week. You
I don't
pick
think
all
whoever
of them
did
up.
That video last year did that.
I don't think so. But I think in other other outlets, Liz, that goes on. Not here at Yahoo, where like great things happen, but at other outlets where sheep things happen, that's what goes on. So Darwin Thompson was that guy this week.
What are your Darwin Thompson? I'm trying to find, Andy, where you ranked him. You ranked him 53.
I've made huge adjustments on the Kansas City backfield until we get like Friday's practice reports, right? But I think the way it's trending is we can expect McCoy to play. But I fundamentally agree with you that we're not going to see McCoy have some sort of magnified role. Like I think they've kind of found what they think the sweet spot is for his usage. And I would just be shocked if we have very many weeks where he's getting 20 plus touches, right? In all likelihood, Thompson gets elevated into the mid 30s for me. It's not feeling like Damian Williams is going to be a go in this one. So that's obviously a huge win for Thompson.
Also, really tough matchup against the Ravens.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Finally, do we have a finally?
Marlon
Mack. Oh, yes. Matt is very excited to talk about Marlon Mack, who was heaving around his boot, but his foot was not in it. But now he's got a calf issue.
Yeah.
He's facing the Atlanta Falcons.
He's facing the Atlanta Falcons, who we all know we want to smash running backs against because they...
But why?
Well, Liz, you see, over the last four seasons leading up to this year, they've allowed the most catches to running backs. It's a stat that doesn't often get referenced on fantasy podcasts.
My gosh. You really dug deep on that one.
I really dug deep on that one, yeah.
So what would this mean for Marlon Mack? If Marlon Mack were missing, and you would imagine Jordan Wilkins would work on early downs, and what does this mean for a little player named Nyheim Hines?
A literally little player. Nyheim Hines, I think, would be interesting in this game. The only problem is, like, the Colts have really... Why I wish that Marlon Mack was healthy for this game, because it is such a smash spot, like... The Falcons just have never been good against running backs, but it's interesting because Mack hasn't been used, like despite the fact Frank Reich insisted he wanted him to be a three down back, he's been running routes. He just doesn't get thrown at. And I think the problem is that like the Colts offense has really changed a lot under Jacoby Brissett. Like they sort of have him in a pseudo game manager role. Like last year they were leading the NFL in pass attempts. They were, you know, pushing for the lead league in pace per play. This year they're down in like the bottom 10 in terms of fastest pace. So it's an interesting spot that I wish we could see Mack play in. But if not, I actually am not all that interested in like these flyer backs, like either Wilkins or Nyheim Hines.
Do you have a preference of one over the other, Andy?
I think Himes could catch, I don't know, it wouldn't shock me at all if he catches 7 or 8 balls in this one. So, like any sort of PPR format, he's a thing. Jordan Wilkins has had such a short career, and I feel like,
don't tell Andy Barrett.
He's somehow burned me like 10 times, right?
That's tough.
Like, I don't know how that's happened exactly, but I feel like he's smoked me so often that I'm, you know, but it is it's a great spot for a running back. I mean, it's hard to get out of your head what Minnesota did to Atlanta in week one and the possibility that that could happen again behind a really good offensive line.
Yeah. Hines too, just to boost Andy's point and take away from my own, the pass catchers in Indy are hurt, obviously, with Funchess, and they didn't really feature one guy. It was just kind of a rotation after Funchess went down.
I think those are all good points. So keep an eye on Max status when you're listening to this today. If he doesn't practice on Friday today, then assume he will be out and adjust accordingly. Andy, let's talk about some matchups. You are particularly interested in the Saints at Seattle. Tell us why and what you're looking for.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And I have, like, this is one of those situations where I don't even have any, like, wisdom about this game. I just feel like we're going to learn a lot and some big things on each side. I have no idea what the QB situation is going to look like for the Saints, right? Probably not exactly what we saw last week. Like, Teddy was just sort of treading water. Sure seemed like he was zeroed in on Michael Thomas to the exclusion of everyone else, right? Like, he was only looking for Michael Thomas. It was weird. It's helpful if you're a Michael Thomas owner that, like, you can feel okay about his value surviving this in some way. Kamara a little bit forgotten, which was alarming. And obviously, you know, maybe Bridgewater with a week of practice with the actual starters on that team is going to make a difference, but certainly doesn't have the timing that Breeze and Kamara do together. So I'm a little bit worried about that. And then what is the usage of Taysom Hill? And is this any kind of, like, we're going to see some fun, like bad college teams do where they rotate quarterbacks? That could be fun.
Let's go.
We don't get a lot of that. So that is a real possibility. And then on the other side, is Chris Carson going to have to pay for all this fumbling? Is a small worry that I have, because Penny looked pretty good last week. We know he's a good back.
Yeah,
you know, it's not that often that that guys are allowed to fumble this often 2 games in a row under any veteran head coach, and they survive it.
So a lot to be illuminated in that one, Matt. You have circled interestingly. That's a word that keeps coming up. Bengals at Bills.
Yeah, well, number one, I just want to make the point about the Bills offense. Josh Allen is, I think he might be good. Like, he's a great fantasy quarterback, for one. He has, like, top 10 upside every single week. Like, in terms of DFS and stuff like that, he can easily break the slate. He's only $30 this week. I think he has as much upside as anybody, you know, that is priced much higher. And because the Bengals suck. They're that was a thorough and complete ass whooping that the 49ers, my 49ers, handed the Cincinnati Bengals last week. Like, it was not even competitive. I mean, in every phase, on every side of the ball, the 49ers kicked their ass. And I think it's interesting to see if the Bills, who are also, like, a tough physical team, could come in and do that. Frank Gore, $15 in Yahoo DFS, probably going to start, and, like, the Bengals can't stop anybody on the ground. I think he's a great play. John Brown is not just, like, crushing it on deep passes. He's caught 7 balls in each of the 2 games. He has, like, a 13.8 average depth of target, which makes him much more steady and consistent. I think this game could be fun on the Bills side. I think there could be a lot of fireworks. And on Cincinnati's side, I want to kind of check in on Joe Mixon, because he's averaging, the Bengals right now as a team are averaging 1.8 yards per carry. That's the lowest in the league. And I also want to see if John Ross can, you know,
keep it going.
Your wide receiver one overall, Jonathan Ross.
Yeah.
He's leading the NFL in receiving yards. He's leading the NFL in fantasy points. Like, see if he can keep it up, because the volume has been there. He's run more routes than anybody on the team. I think there's just a lot to, I don't know about if I'm, you got to be kind of ballsy to play John Ross, because this is a really good secondary, but I at least want to see if he can keep
maybe
it going.
Maybe he's the guy you flex if you're rolling out with Michael Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you know somebody, if you know you have a player who's got a capped ceiling, then maybe you're rolling out with John Ross because you want the upside dart throw. I had initially planned to talk about Giants and Bucks, but we kind of talked about that before Andy joined. So I just want to illuminate a little bit about Detroit at Eagles, because I don't think anybody would have assumed that Kenny Golladay would be the player on the team that we were talking about, and Kerryon Johnson would be the player who was being buried by the team.
I took a big fat L on. I already declared taking the big fat L on Kenny Golladay, a player I faded everywhere this year.
Right. Well, the matchups have been good, and the matchup's good again because when you are poor Darby, man, when you are trending onto, like, I was at the airport heading to New York on that red eye and watching the game at the bar. Yeah. And just looking at my phone on the same time, and I just saw trending Darby, and I was like, and then looked up at the TV and was like, oh no, this is not great. So he should smash again in this one. Golladay should, and I think he's $20 in Yahoo DFS. Like, could maybe Marvin Jones get lucky? Maybe, I don't know. But so far, Stafford, and this is dated back to when Golladay was a rookie, Stafford tends to move towards Golladay in clutch situations. So he has eyes for him. And Kerryon Johnson, I know people are excited about the fact that CJ Anderson was cut, which would assumedly mean that there'd be more opportunity for Johnson. But the matchup, well, they added Paul Perkins, I believe.
They have the great Paul Perkins.
Right.
Yes.
So, like, so it's like, oh, you've undone yourself. And then also,
you've owned yourself.
And also, the matchup against the Eagles is brutal because the Eagles' run defense is rated, just for reference, number two behind the Baltimore Ravens by Fantasy Football. I'm sorry, by Football Outsiders, which is a DVOA statistics nerd thing. But anyway, they're real good at what they do. So don't.
So trust it.
Right. So don't mess with that. And then, yeah, on the Eagles' side, we already talked about all of the injuries. So I think this one could be one of those, like, sneaky huh games, like sound effect huh.
What?
No.
What is the huh
game? I'm imagining
game?
A sound effect that I hear on another show and just like saying it out loud. Like, I think this is going to be a game with a lot of like moments of ponder, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Nope. All right. Brett, you can cut that out. Thank you. Yes, it comes full circle.
Moments of ponder.
Let's
presented
please,
by Liz Loza.
Hit some DFS talk before we get out of here. Andy, your guy, Nelson Agholor, how much does he cost? This is the guy you're sticking with.
Yeah, I threw him out there earlier. It's $14 in our DFS game. Again, coming off an 11 target game. There's just no way that he doesn't see double digit targets in this one. I guess another name I would throw out there, Raheem Mostert is $13, which
the
I think is silly. His highlights were so good last week. They were so good. And it sure feels like he's going to get 14, 15 touches in this one, too.
Matt, hit us with your Devin Smith love one more time because we haven't had enough of it.
Devin Smith, over 18-yard average depth of target, legitimately good player. I'm so thrilled that this is a thing. And if he doesn't score a touchdown against the Dolphins, then I might just walk into the ocean. In terms of players I'm fading, Andy said it earlier, like, I think I'm just going to stay away from this Seattle-New Orleans game, even though part of me thinks, like, DK Metcalf, you know, he's a guy who could eventually, like, you know, win you a DFS tournament because he's playing so well and he's playing a lot. Lockett's playing well. Russell Wilson is not getting enough credit for how awesome he played last week, too. But with everything that's going on with the Saints, I really just kind of want to monitor this game, watch it, and, like, see what how Teddy looks, see if they're when they're going to finally turn over to the GOAT Taysom Hill, and just kind of let that one ride and not really play any of these players here.
I already talked about Kyle Allen, who's only $20, and I mean if you start a $20 quarterback and I think he's going to go for over 285 yards and two touchdowns, that's QB 15-ish territory. If he does that, then you have so much more money to play with. And a lot of those wide receivers are only $20. So I like that construction. Also, Devonta Freeman, stop chirping about how bad he is. Look at his matchups. I know Ito Smith is frustrating, but this is the week that Devonta Freeman, who was only $18 in our DFS game, bounces back. He's got the Colts. They've been bad against the run, real bad against the run.
I'm in on this take with you.
Thank you so much. They've allowed four touchdowns to the running back position, two via the ground, two on the through via the air, and LFG.
Darius Leonard hurt.
That's right. That's the other point. Thank you, Matt. So I think he's going to smash this week, too, and everybody is discounting him. He's underlooked. If you want to play DFS, then you should enter our 500K contest. It is very exciting. You can go to yahoosports.com/dailyfantasy to find out more about it. But just know that there's only a $10 entrance fee and $50,000 goes to the winner. Who doesn't want $50,000?
You know, I think it would change me if I had $50,000, so I would pass. I think it would change me. And I want to kind of stay true to myself.
You're too perfect the way you are.
Well, I don't know about perfect, but I think...
That's what you're intimating.
I think I'm solid overall, and like taking the risk of like maybe $50,000 would kind of...
Ruin you.
Ruin me and like, you know, send...
You could just shower Charlie with squeaky toys, though.
Dude, that's going to be annoying for me. I don't think
of all of the pizzas you could hate eat.
I could hate eat a lot of pizzas, but see, that's literally going to change.
All right. Well, I could use $50,000. Let's be honest. Like, I don't actually know what I'd do with $50,000. I'd want to go on a vacation, but I can't because it's football season.
You hate to see it.
So anyway, Andy, what would you do with $50,000? Well, you have a kid in college.
Yeah, I was going to say I would pay just a sliver of my daughter's tuition. Yeah.
Well, we will be back on Sunday night with our week 3 recap. You can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at @LizLoza_FF for @MattHarmon_BYB. And of course, at Andy Behrens. Thank you, Andy, for joining us. I will be texting with you on Monday night because, you know, the big guy has Washington. So it's going to be contentious in the Loza Bed. Yes. All right. We are out.